Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, audience. This is Sandra Bueno, and today is Thursday, September 27, 2007, and I am here with great happiness and enthusiasm simply because today's guest, Joe Pipitone, he is a fellow life coach and a person that I have the privilege of meeting who shares a distinct awareness of empowerment, of accountability, of education. I will be presenting him in a few minutes, but before I'd like to give you some background information on Power to Be You. As you well know, Power to Be You is a show about accountability, responsibility, and empowerment via education. The show is online on Tuesdays for 30 minutes and Thursdays for an hour. Tuesday's show is strictly on coaching, providing you with distinctions that can make a difference in your life, in how you choose to live your life, and how you bring about meaning to your experiences. And then Thursday's show is about bringing in other people, bringing in specialists, bringing in leaders, bringing in contributors, and life coaches who will be able to share with you their own testimonies, their own experiences, and their own knowledge. All of this is with the intention of being able to reprogram you so that you may have a different life experience and be able to make a difference with your own life. So without taking more of this 1 hour time that we have, I want to invite Joe on board and have him speak to you basically about what has been his experience, what he brings about. He's a specialist in defining self-awareness, bringing about limiting beliefs, focus. And at the end of our talk, we're going to give some moments for questions, but I'd like to read you his bio and give you some background information before he comes online. And Joe's first profession out of high school was an airplane mechanic. At the age of 22, he was presented with an opportunity to purchase a small and ailing retail ceramic tile and building supply company that was in the process of shutting down. And with no knowledge of the industry, no prior business experience or entrepreneurial training, and with no money of his own, Joe decided to purchase the company and thus began his career as an entrepreneur. Within 5 years, this company exceeded gross sales of $4.5 million. He had a staff of 30 people, and the company had actually outgrown the original location, and he was forced to move out onto another location. Since then, his experience, he has overcome just about every possible challenge in a retail business entity, as one can imagine. After 17 years of being in the industry, Joe's unwavering commitment to living his life with purpose and passion led him to realize that it was time to serve people in an even more profound way. Being unclear as to what that would look like, Joe hired a life coach to assist him in gaining clarity on what was to be next for him. From this experience, he discovered that it was time to begin helping people from the inside out, and thus began his training as a life coach. Within 2 years, he went on to form his own company, Coaching for Life, and he began transitioning out of his retail business to become a full-time life coach. Since then, Joe has assisted business owners, entrepreneurs, individuals, industry consultants, and community leaders on how to achieve their best life, both personally and professionally. And this is very
Hello? Hello? No. No. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Hello, hello. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Joe?
Hello? Lee, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, Joe. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you, Brian.
Great. It's Joe, he's here. Do you want to carry on?
Joe?
Hi, Sandra.
This has been impossible.
Hey,
I apologize so much for this.
It's okay. I just heard Lee on the computer.
You heard Lee on the computer?
Yep.
So where are we right now?
So you guys are live now.
Are you live as well?
Yeah.
It sounds that we are. Okay, well, it says we have 37 minutes remaining. So being that we're both online, why don't we just go forward with this and...
I just want you to know you're speaking on the online right now.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
Well, let's present you, Joe.
Here I am.
Hi, Joe. Well, I was basically, you know, what I would say is the reason why I was very happy to bring you online is because you truly have a unique ability to really, really target the issues at the core, going from inside out. And as I read your bio, and, you know, your background with working within your own company and raising that to a $4.5 million entity, that's remarkable in itself. And though I know that that is your business background, a lot of that prepared you for truly what you mentioned as being your unwavering commitment to living life with purpose and passion. So would you like to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. That is quite a broad subject matter. First of all, I want to begin by just saying how humbled and grateful that I am being invited on this call with you here on the show. And my congratulations to you for stepping up and just really showing up in a way that is just so serving and being here for others to actually, you know, setting the example for others to do what is in alignment with themselves and what is their true calling, you know. And, of course, every time we face that, we can always count on a past voice that has kept us small up until now anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a question of really listening to this internal dialogue that I've learned to become aware of, that that I get to choose every day, in every moment, actually. I get to choose which one of these voices I want to listen to and act from. And, you know, it becomes an ongoing, I want to say, joyful responsibility, because, you know, we can think about this as something that that is, you know, some people think about this, man, is it, I have to constantly think about what I'm thinking about? Or, yeah, and the thing is that, you know, you just allow it to just be present, you know, just be present to it without letting it really feel like it's such a job, you know. And, you know, there's so much to say about how we interpret the things that are taking place, because that's what winds up shaping our day in our life, right?
In our experience.
So,
and you just basically said something that I've come across in a lot of my readings, where and the great thinkers and the philosophers and the leaders that we can lean back up on, they've often said, we don't want to think. People don't want to think. You know, in a day we have close to 50,000 thoughts, and most of them, if any of our listeners are there, would ask themselves, go back during your day and ask yourself, what did you think about?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and it's whatever time and effort we put into that is going to be reflected on the results that we get on a daily basis, you know. And so this is where, you know, talking about self-responsibility and taking responsibility for what we're creating. I once learned, as I was being trained as a coach, that I was invited, actually, to consider taking responsibility for everything that I've created in my life, regardless of what it looks like. And when I heard that for the first time, of course, you know, there's a voice that says, well, how could that person and the other person and all those things that I have no control over, how can I take responsibility for all of that, for all those things? And lo and behold, as each day went on and I took on that way of thinking, amazingly, life just started to become more peaceful, I want to say. Things started to fall into place. I no longer had to reach out and say, okay, who do I blame today? You know, it's a blame game. It's just every time I found myself pointing a finger outward, I realized that, oh, okay, well, this is not going to get me very far. This is only going to get me to where it is that I didn't want to go to in the first place. And so from that, I discovered that, you know, in every moment is really an opportunity for me to really take a look and see what, in fact, my next limitation was. And, you know, that just continuously sharpening the saw, you know, just constantly looking at it from, okay, what did I do to create this? How do I take responsibility for what I just created, and how do I want this to turn out? And slowly but surely, you know, it's just the time that it took to own it, as I like to say, just started to get shorter and shorter. And of course, I still have my human moments. Thank God, I still have blood running in my veins, and it's just, it doesn't take as long now to really turn a situation around, you know, because in life, it's adversity is not a question of, is it going to show up? It's like, when is it going to show up next? And then, of course, even when it does show up, it's about how we interpret the experience, right? And
exactly.
And yeah, and so just looking at it, looking at the situation from a place of, okay, so I'm being presented now with another opportunity to get figure out or find out what is the gift here in what's being presented to me. And sometimes, you know, the things that show up don't necessarily feel like or look like anything that we want to embrace as a so-called gift, yeah?
Exactly.
Yeah, so, you know.
As you're talking, I'm having a gift moment, because just you coming online was obviously very difficult, and you know, not knowing if I myself was being able to be heard and dealing with the technology aspect of it, and I have my assistant helping me, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, you know, where in this do I need to learn, even though, you know, within me there's a controlled emotion, but as a person, of course, I'm sitting here and feeling disempowered, feeling angry because this should have been, you know, it should have been said from the beginning. And in hearing you, I ask you, one of the most, you know, do you think that one of the most difficult aspects of being true to yourself and really, like you said, that introspection that requires you to take responsibility, what would you say is the most difficult thing that, so people can understand that, you know, it's not just a given when you want to do it, it takes a higher part of your being to really be honest with yourself?
Well, you know, what comes along for the ride in that question, that's an awesome question. And what comes along for the ride for me is that, okay, how much do I value integrity? And, you know, for me, integrity being one of my highest values is, okay, so if I'm not experiencing some kind of a flow or some kind of a state of peace or fulfillment or experiencing joy, where am I not being in integrity? Something is out of integrity somewhere. Somewhere along the line, I'm pretending something, and it's up to me to really get underneath all that, because what shows up on the surface is only the result of what it is that I've been thinking. It's about my thought process. And we've heard about, you know, what our thoughts are, you know, we shape our lives with our thoughts. And so our lives are shaped with every moment that shows up. And so, you know, in this particular situation here, what was the opportunity? You know, what took place here could have been dealt with in so many different ways. And so if we are creating the circumstances so that we can take a look and what's left to be possibly flushed out, or what's left inside here that really wants some attention. You know, what belief systems do I have that might have generated an experience here that I'm going to learn from? And,
exactly.
You know, just based on what you shared, it sounds like you got to take a look at how you show up in a quote-unquote crisis situation, which can be also doubling as an amazing opportunity. And it sounds like you really pulled through awesomely there. So my hat's off to you, my dear.
It is. It's making light of where do you show up when something happens unexpectedly, and how do you relate to it? And because that's usually in moments of crisis where you can really see. You know, like this morning I was listening, and that was just a half-finished sentence that I just went on, but I'll go back to it. This morning I was listening about Muhammad Ali, and where he really rose to become the champion wasn't inside the ring, it was outside of the ring with what he did. Hmm. You know, and even talking about Mother Teresa, you know, many people will say, well, she wasn't rich. Well, if you look at the fact that every single leader in the world would immediately open up their castles, the White House, everything to her. She didn't need to have money because everyone embraced her because of what she did. And she was rich in giving to people. She was rich in emotions. She was rich in, you know, in her ability to go to such a level where there's so much despair and bring to them, you know, stemmed out of her own awareness of who she was inside. And where I say this, for example, about this situation with myself, it's in those moments that you are tested when you will really reveal your true essence. And that's an opportunity for you to say, well, where am I? Am I really who I say I am? Or do I need some more tweaking? Or what other lessons must I learn to go forward and become a better person?
Yeah, or even play the bigger game that you're invited to play the moment you step on this planet, right?
Exactly.
You know, so I love what you just said, because, you know, to me, those opportunities that show up in let's say, disguised as a crisis, you know, I look at that and say, okay, this is where I get to see where I would normally play small. I get to make a different choice in this moment. And, you know, what's amazing about this is this happens, like, in every split second, right? And so this is where, again, as I mentioned earlier, just continuously sharpening or strengthening that muscle of awareness, where you can actually see who you're being as opposed to being in it. You're observing. You become the observer as opposed to the I sometimes look at life as a big movie, and everything that we do is just a big movie screen, and who we be in is in either going to be the performer or the director, right? And so
exactly.
when we get caught up in it, we become the performer, and when we're able to actually view it as the outsider or the observer, you become the director, and you can actually make a shift in that moment, and that's when it really gets powerful, and life becomes like, wow, this is pretty cool, I mean, like, I can actually, so I created this, that's great, now let me just change the channel and do something else here,
Now, let me ask you, in your experience with your clients, do you find that they're, what do you find is the one deterrent to them being, or a disempowering belief that they share, or an unwillingness that allows them to go forward? Did you make some distinction as to one characteristic or one trait or one pattern or one habit?
Well, one thing that I discover is that people are generally in the mode of complaining about their lives. And it's just a matter of reminding them that they're complaining. And once they do that, it's like, oh, man, you mean I got to do something else? And so what winds up happening is that I find that they're mostly seeking freedom. They want freedom. I mean, to me, I think just about every human being on this planet is striving for freedom. So, I just simply ask them, hey, well, what would freedom look like for you in that particular situation? And you get to actually put in front of them something. You all of a sudden gave them an option that they didn't think they had before, and they get to actually pull out of the situation that they're demonstrating themselves as being the performer, and they get to recreate the situation, and all of a sudden they realize they have a choice. So I think to answer the question, the short of it is helping people really understand that in every situation, in every scenario, in every aspect of their life, they really and truly do have a choice. I'm not sure if that answers your question, but that's what I got from the question.
I would say, I was seeking something because I find the more I go forward with this, I find people have a certain belief system and their inflexibility to consider anything else. Once they fall in that pot or once they're inside of that box, it's almost like they throw away their own key, and they don't want to listen. And it's almost like, because listening or being willing to entertain something different means, again, it's all a question of meaning. A lot of people will say, "Well, if I listen to what you say and I'm willing to accept or at least try out what you're saying, does that mean that then I am wrong? Does that mean that I've been a fool? Does that mean that, again, if people don't want to feel inadequate and they don't want to feel, they don't want to feel embarrassed. And again, it's all the question of meaning. Why, like you said, if I can look at an experience and say, well, I'll never try this again. Or I can look at an experience and say, wow, now I know how not to try it, and let me try it a different way next time.
Yeah, that's a very good point you bring up, because one of the things that is, in fact, I'm getting the question even to another level now, because one of the things that is, in fact, difficult or challenging for people to accept is their own truth. And when you place it in front of them and you have them hear it, and all of a sudden there's a part of us that, for so long has been programmed to make us wrong, because many people have grown up being conditioned and live in a world of right and wrong and good and bad, and that has its place. And yet how we interpret all that information growing up is another story, because now what happens is when you start to bring some light to a situation, they are at times dealing with that other voice that says, oh, well, I can't be wrong about this here, and they fall into this little trap of needing to be right, even though it's not working for them. So I invite people to actually look at situations not so much as right or wrong, but is it working or isn't it working? And then kind of like lessens the blow of the reality, and it invites them to actually consider a different perspective that, in fact, can allow them to be more empowered in a situation. Does that make sense?
It does. No, it does. It brings back to mind when you and I first got together and we spoke, you talked about how people will carry a lot of pain with themselves. You know, they'll carry a lot of pain based on situations or circumstances of their life. And you have a lot of personal insight into this matter. And I'd like for you to share that as to how you were able to turn that around and use it so that it would serve a higher purpose rather than a limiting purpose.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up, because that has been, in fact, one of the greatest gifts I could have received, and that is the birth of one of my children, my first daughter, second of the three children that I have, who is now 19 years old, and that's Gabrielle, who came into our world with Down syndrome. And you know, when she was born, the first thing that I said, of course, you know, I felt victimized, and I said, "Why me?" And I said, "Okay, God, you gave me this cross, and you know, just give me the strength to carry the cross." And so in that very moment, I took on her existence as a job. And without even realizing it, I mean, I'm just so programmed to like just deal with life as it shows up, you know, without really becoming present on a whole nother level, on a deeper level, you know, what is really happening. And, you know, it took 15 years of her life for me to really become present to who she was and who she was for me and who she was, well, I'm going to speak for myself, but who she was for our family, but mostly for me. And when I became present to realizing that, oh my God, I've been treating this human being as my job, because, you know, I was there for her as the dad who, you know, had to take her to the doctors and the operations and all these things and the medications, and you know, I did all my duties per se. All the obligations that came with the responsibility of this job, right?
Yeah.
And when I became present to who I was being in this relationship and how I was, you know, and it's not like I you know, disowned her or I had resentment towards her, but I just never really connected on a deeper level and understanding the true purpose of her existence. And, you know, when I finally realized that, it just took a while for me to, I mean, first of all, it was almost like a rebirth when that took place for me. It's like, oh my goodness, who have I been being? And of course, I could have made myself wrong, and to some degree I did. And slowly but surely, you know, thank goodness for the training that I had, I was able to actually take all this knowledge and use it on myself and really understand that, you know, how what I'm making everything mean. And before I knew it, I was actually able to be in her life and really bond with her in a way that I never knew was even possible. And for me, it was almost like Gabrielle was born on a whole other level at age 15.
Wow, and so it was due to you undergoing the coaching itself and getting the distinctions and reprogramming or different education that allowed you to understand your own situation?
Yeah, absolutely. It was through the coaching training and being exposed to all of the different modalities and the different programs that revolve around personal development, where I started to actually have a whole different perspective. And all the work really did was help me become present to who I was being. And when I started to look in different aspects of my life, it was like, holy cow, oh my God, oh my God. And, you know, and when it came to Gabrielle, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And so then I started to realize that, okay, so, you know, let me not look at what's wrong with her. Let's just take a look at what's right with her, using those terms, right? Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, I started to really discover her inner beauty. And frankly, I have yet to meet another individual who could be as unconditional as Gabrielle. And you know, children with Down syndrome, to me, that's one of the gifts that I believe they bring to this planet, is to really demonstrate unconditionality. I mean, here's a human being that doesn't know what holding a grudge even means. You know, it's just that something can happen in this moment, and 10, 15, 20 minutes later, it's like nothing ever happened, you know. It's just amazing. And so I learned from her daily, and I let her know continuously, you know, Gabrielle, thanks for teaching me that. It's just giving her, for helping her feel empowered and serving a purpose and helping her understand even what her purpose is, because I've started to work with her, and I use the term work for lack of a better term, but I'm starting to spend time with her on a whole different level now. And one of the things that came to me about a year and a half ago, and Gabrielle's now 19, by the way, and about a year and a half ago, I was writing my goals. And, you know, one of my goals at the time was to become financially free, whatever exactly it was, but something to that effect. And all of a sudden I heard this little voice say to me, okay, yeah, and then what? And I just listened. I said, and then what? You know, in that moment, I just said, I don't know, and then what? And next thing I know, I felt like I received this order to create a personal development program for kids with Down syndrome. And when I just sat with that and just allowed myself to receive that information, it just went through me like, almost like I felt like I sat in an electric chair or something, and I just began to cry for about 25-30 minutes, like a little infant, and I recognized that it became my next an area where I was to, you know, show up and really assist in that arena, assist in that community of not only the children with Down syndrome, but as well the parents. Because one thing that I can say, up until that point where I started to really take responsibility for what I created, I felt victimized. Mm-hmm. And this is just so common. You know, you talked earlier about what are some of the commonalities in the with speaking with clients. Well, generally, with speaking with human beings, I find that, you know, being victimized by something in their life, even if it's their own thought process, is one of the biggest things going on, that what I can tell. And so I realized that, you know, I was blessed. I really feel blessed that I was able to still move on with my life, some way, shape, or form. You know, we're wired to be survivors, and we figure it out. And it's not always necessarily conducive to our well-being. Because at one point I did start to feel the impact on a physical level, and my health started to shift and you know, and I was able to in fact overcome that as well and heal myself through all the work that I do. But nevertheless, you know, I realized that, you know, parents of children that come into this world with their challenges, whatever that may be, can feel victimized. And what happens is that they allow themselves to forget about their own lives and their own dreams, and they stop dreaming. And they stop dreaming, and they're just sitting in this place of, you know, look what happened to me. And they wind up using their circumstance as a reason why their life is no longer what they would have wanted it to be. And the truth of the matter is, what I found out in retrospect is that, again, as I mentioned earlier in the call, that was just a reason for me to play yet a bigger game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, forget about making it about me. This is not about me. It's about how do I serve now on this level. You know, I was dealt something here. I was given something here, and I had no idea what to do with it until I started to take responsibility for my life. And then everything starts to fall into place. And then all of a sudden, you know, when we're ready, there's a saying that says, when the student is ready, the teacher arrives.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful, I love that term. And it just holds true on so many different levels. So, you know, I realize that parents of kids with Down syndrome, children with Down syndrome, can be trapped in this state of victimization. And you know what? If we really want to be there for our children, it's so important that we actually demonstrate what it means to live an empowered life, because, you know, energy is everything and everything is energy, as they say, yeah?
Yeah.
And they're continuously surrounded by your energy. And so whether you're speaking it or not, if you're walking around feeling victimized, believe me, they pick it up And then all we're doing is teaching them to be victims. And that certainly does not work very well. And, you know, I look forward to seeing what this community of children with Down syndrome are really, how they're really going to come out in this world and just play a huge part in society and really just thrive, just like, you know, every human being on this planet is intended to.
You know what, while I've been listening to you, I've been writing down notes, and there's so many different angles that just listening to you lends itself to. You know, one of the things that you just said, you know, I'll start backwards. I work with children in various capacities, but I've been working via my church with children who are middle school students, and the pastor actually said it is his belief. This pastor comes from where the Purpose Driven Life book was written out in Utah, Saddleback Church. But he says, he goes, I believe that children are going to make the difference. And in my experience, I see that through the Juvenile Detention Center and different the Children's Coalition that I'm involved with, helping the at-risk youth, a lot of the stories that come out is kids are having to take care of their parents, and kids are having to be the ones to, at a very young age, see the distinction between a parent who is absent or a parent who, you know, who is hurting or a parent who is self-destructing, and the child is making a distinction as to, no, that's not, I have to take care of my parent or I have to take care of my sibling. And, you know, when you talk, for example, of a parent feeling like a victim, especially with a child who has a challenge, you know, what happens to that child when they themselves are being victimized because they are, you know, in one way challenged? You know, what happens there? Like, how do you, what distinctions have you made?
I discovered is that, you know what, the children don't know that they're challenged.
Okay.
They only know that they only know their existence, and they believe what we have them believe. And I discovered that the only thing, if there's anything wrong anywhere, again, I use that term loosely, but if there's anything wrong anywhere, it's with the adults that surround these children. These kids they're happy. They're really happy. You know, I'm gonna use an analogy, because I just recently started to learn about dogs. I had the pleasure of being with someone who is an expert in dog psychology, and spent some time with them, and I learned some really beautiful things about it, and I realized that the connection. And you know how we consider dogs being so unconditional, right?
Yes.
And no matter how you show up, they're always loving you. They don't remember what happened 5 minutes ago. And, you know, they just want to just keep loving and just keep loving and keep loving. And I realized that, oh my goodness, you know, I mean, I'm not comparing Gabrielle to a dog, but I see the resemblance, I see the comparison, what do you call it, the same way
analogy
of being. It's almost like, oh my goodness, these children, they don't have as much judgment, if any, as a quote-unquote normal human being would. And I use that term loosely, because this is how society has taught us to speak at times, right?
Yes.
And I look at this and I'm saying, my goodness, you know, when do we give up on our dogs? We never give up on our dogs. We're just continuously, you know, making sure that we're there with them and for them. And it's not that we're not that way with our kids, but something, there's a rationale that causes us to be different around a human being than it does around a dog. And through this conversation with this gentleman, I discovered, you know, it's interesting how we can sometimes give up on human beings, but we don't seem to give up on our dogs, if we have a dog, that is. And, or pet, sometimes whatever pet that we have, and I don't know, I'm not even sure why I'm bringing that up, but it just became present to how limiting sometimes we can be because of the rationale that winds up taking over our body, our mind.
Well, you bring to mind the fact of giving up, and you know, if the whole Power to Be You platform is precisely bringing awareness so that we can empower our kids. And you know, and you said it, like a child doesn't know any better. A child that is pure, a child that is unaware whether you are abusing him or her, or you are victimizing them via your own lacks, you know, or your own anger with yourself or your own deficiencies. It all boils down to, you know, as adults we can handle it, or as adults we've made that choice. But as children, they don't really have a choice to, you know, to being able to say, no, I don't want you to give me this, because they don't know any better. And, you know, when you said this example, automatically it just makes that awareness so much more clear that, you know, we need to stop giving up on our children. And it seems when you look around that a lot of people, a lot of parents, you know, have kind of left kids to their own, because of their own lack.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's very particular, because, you know, when you talk about, you know, I think that the parallels there are so much more distinct, that regular parents can actually learn from what you have targeted toward parents with challenged children. Do you mentioned you had programs, or you worked on a program. Do you work with the parents and the children at the same time, or do you have different lessons for?
Up until now, I have not worked with the child with their parent. But it seems like the path that I'm on right now is certainly leading into that direction. And that would be an honor for me to actually be a part of that experience and just witness that transformation in that relationship. You know, one of the things that when I was referring to about the program that I was referring to is a personal development program designed for the young adults with Down syndrome. And as far as working with them one-on-one from a coaching angle, I have not had the pleasure of doing that with anyone else but Gabrielle, my daughter. And this is the next chapter in the world of personal development for me. And I'm really looking forward to see what that's going to look like.
Now, do you not think that you would be able to also apply the same teachings and the same belief system and the same, the same techniques to the mainstream arena?
Well, you know, in my time that I'm spending with Gabrielle, you know, I'm teaching her how to visualize just like I teach my other clients, and everybody that's a part of my network and in my life. I'm teaching her about positive attitude. I'm teaching her about creating affirmations. You know, I'll give you a quick example. There was a point in time when I first made this discovery where Gabrielle would say, you know, I hate math, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I'm saying, oh good, we got some work to do here. And you know, slowly but surely, I was able to teach her how to alter that belief system around math, around how she felt around math, to, you know, doing math is a blast. She actually created that affirmation. And then the conversation around math was never one of drudgery. It was always one of, you know, she smiled because she, and I watched her do this, and let me tell you, I didn't find it to be any different with her than it was when I'm dealing with other people who may not have challenges that she has. And my other daughter, Mariandra, actually, she witnessed this, and she was really amazed at the process literally happening live in about a 15-20 minute period. So, you know, it's just how we program. Because it's all programming, you know, it's to whatever degree. I have still I have, you know, sometimes it may take a little bit longer, but that's not any different when I'm dealing with my clients. There are clients that take months and months to shift the thought process because it's so ingrained in them.
Yes.
And one of the things that I'm noticing with working with Gabrielle is that she's more open and more apt to shift, to take on another belief system that would be more empowering than not. So,
hey, Joe.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to interrupt just because we are going to be running out of time, but I'd like to ask you if you'd like to continue this on Tuesday as I do my half an hour show, and if you'd like to come online once again and present and take this a little further.
I would be delighted.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, I know, let's spend the last few, actually 50 seconds, if you can tell them your website as well as your, if you'd like to give out your phone or just your website alone, and also you have a show that you're going to be starting, correct?
Yes. As a matter of fact, you know what? You inspired me to start that. Thank you so much for playing a huge part of that. Yes,
well,
the show is called Wake Up to Empowerment, and it's airing starting Monday, the 1st of October, and it's a 7 o'clock call Eastern time. It'll last for 30 minutes, and it'll be quite the wake-up call. I love that time slot. I actually used it in a previous time where someone else had a call at that hour, and it was really a perfect way for me to start my day, and I thought I actually continue along those lines and be there for the public to actually, you know, benefit from that conversation that will take place on that 30-minute time slot.
And is it on Blog Talk Radio as well?
It's on Blog Talk Radio, and the way you go into that call would be, I mean, sorry, into that show would be blogtalkradio.com/CFL, as in Charlie Frank Larry, CFL. And my website, if you want to go to my website, it's www.lifecoachingbyjoe.com. And my number where you can best reach me would be at 732-241-3510.
Joe?
Hello?
Yes, are you here?
I'm here.
We totally got, once again, disconnected.
It's okay.
You could hear me the entire time?
No, this last 2 minutes or so, you blanked out.
Blanked out. Okay. Well, actually, now we finished recording because the show actually stops recording.
Right.
So we're no longer on air. But this was definitely a major, I could honestly, hold myself up and shoot myself in the back.
So, wait a minute, you just broke up here. I'm sorry. I don't know why it's breaking up. What did you say?
No, that I'm saying that this experience today was truly, it was, you know, it made my backbone stand up.
Oh, okay, cool. You mean as far as you being having the technical challenges?
Well, it was very difficult because, again, it's a challenge that one's going to experience, and you know, it's part of keeping your cool, kind of keeping it organized. What are you going to do when, you know, if in preparation, be prepared, you know, when you're up against the unexpected. And then also be able to, you know, the whole interest was in having you come on air and be able to share, you know, all of the information that you have and your insight and just, you know, like I said, program and what you've said, a lot of it is valuable. It's very valuable. So I just realized, I said, you're going to start your show on Monday, right? On Monday at 7 a.m.
Yep.
When are you going to do it, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday?
No, 5 days a week.
Ooh, wow.
Yep, it's a five-day call. And by the way, I wanted to invite you to be a part of the team if you so choose. We'd love to have you on there. I mean, to me, it's becoming, you know, I want to say that I stood up and claimed this show, and at the same time, I'm all about teamwork. And so as of now, I have Penny, who has joined us, and somebody by the name of David Zita, who is a very good friend of mine, who is entering the world of personal development and on his way to becoming a motivational speaker. He's actually going to be, I guess I don't know if you want to use the word co-hosting per se, or he's actually going to be taking the intros and pretty much monitoring the switchboard, and he'll be live on the call as well, so that we can do some interacting and really play off of each other with whoever is on the call.
Oh, that is nice. That's actually very, very good. Now, you're going to do it 7 days a week, and
I mean
5 days a week. For how long?
As long as we want to, right?
No, as far as time, duration.
Oh, 30 minutes, 30 minutes. We're starting out with 30 minutes. And, you know, I'm guessing that somewhere in that call, the purpose for me of this call is just to really help people get empowered. And so I believe that's going to require some interaction and even some minimal quick coaching. And so that may lengthen the call. So if we see we need more time consistently, I'd be more than happy to make that a 60-minute call and have more people share. And just, you know, because a group coaching session, a group coaching environment is very powerful. It is extremely powerful, even more powerful than a one-on-one. So if you have multiple people listening into something, you're going to be creating so much. You're creating a clearing. The person who shares on that call and receives the coaching is creating the clearing for so many people.
That is great. I mean, I would love to. Yeah, I mean, it's right now I'm really thinking, how would you want to do the coming together? Every day, or would you like to have like one specific day with having Penny and did you say David?
David. Yeah, David's going to be on 5 days a week.
Okay. And when is Penny going to be?
Well, you know, we're still determining that, cuz Penny is currently doing a 6:30 call with her course. And she wants to take this on, and she's not 100% on board, but she'd love to be on there 5 days a week. And so it'll be an interactive call, kind of like what Dr. Mike was doing with Frank.
Okay.
And so then, you know, they're having the guest speakers, pretty much a similar setup. But the difference here would be that there might be a little bit more interaction with the people. And as opposed to just us continuously sharing information, which we'd love to do, of course, and there'll be a little of that. But I think just, you know, bringing something to the table and let's work with it live and show the people how it really works and have these people just go through it. It's really awesome, because we can talk about empowerment all we want, but when we actually demonstrate it, it's a whole other experience.
Exactly. That definitely to me is taking it to a new level. So it's funny, because when I talked to you, you were like, oh, you know, here I have something new. Now I'm telling you the same thing. Oh, here I have something new, growing and getting better, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I have to tell you, you don't know, first of all, the fact that you brought this Blog Talk Radio to light is, I am so grateful. Thank you so much for really taking a stand for that. Number one. Number two, the fact that, you know, you spoke with me the other day, and I just happened to, I want to say, whisper the idea of doing this show thing, because I was so disappointed that it stopped. And you said, well, you know what, and then you said to me, well, you know, because I said, you know, would I be having enough time to do it for Monday? And you said, well, why not? There's no better time than the present. And I'm like, I'm choking on my own words. I'm saying, what did I do? So clearly there's a part of me that wants to step out of the box here and really play the bigger game, as I like to put it, you know?
And it is, you know what, I mean, as you're saying it, like for me, I have so much on my plate, but this is exactly what you're saying. I mean, I've been dealing with all these, today, I was at a meeting about an hour ago, and we went, there's a community of, I mean, there's a lot of communities of dealing with social welfare, dealing with the police department, dealing with the juvenile detention center, the justice system, this, you know, just so many entities. Well, when I talked to them about having a mentor coach program, immediately the man was like, the minute you have this, please, because I have an event that's coming up in the middle of October, he said, let me know because I will disseminate the information to my team of 152 committee members. Immediately, you know, every single person that's dealing with any part of dealing with social welfare or, you know, social practices or substance abuse or, you know, just school, education, law enforcement, everyone is looking for information, and they're all looking elsewhere. You know, they're not looking at the self. They're not really looking at coaching. They're not looking at empowerment because they're always, you know, they're so focused on the issues, and they're like, why? You know, why is there gang violence? Why is there substance abuse? Why are we having these issues? Why can we not relate to the kids? Why are the kids not understanding? And being able to bring this, you know, especially to adults who are dealing with these problems, who are not fully empowered, it would be awesome. You know, you would get, I mean, this would definitely allow us to bring in a lot of people to be able to come online and get information that they otherwise would never have the possibility of getting.
Cool. So then you can share it with your network and, you know,
yeah,
invite them to the call and see how we can assist in that department, you know, and we'll do whatever we got to do. We'll do whatever we can for them.
Yeah, that would be great.
There's a solution for everything.
Yeah, well, let me know then this weekend of how, you know, how we're going to go. We're just going to call in because I know on Blog Talk, 5 people can come in online. There's, I don't know how many on the switchboard.
30 people can call in?
Yes, Lee just told me 30. For some reason, I had 5, but maybe it's 5 at any given time that can stay on. Yeah, 5 can talk at once.
5 can talk at the same time. That's correct.
Yes. Yes.
Yep, that's correct.
And,
so,
and you
if
can
it's
get
me, if you're going to be there, if you're going to be there with us in the mornings, you know, and well, at this point, I guess we just got to determine whether we want to, because I'm definitely right now want to be there every morning. And if there's a day when I can't be there, then I know there's a whole team in place there that can just take the call, you know, and however that shows up in that morning, we'll deal with it, you know. But
I would like to actually do it, you know what, Tuesday and Thursdays.
Okay, so you want to just be there on Tuesday and Thursday morning?
Because I have, yeah, because I have so many other commitments, but I'd like to do Tuesday and Thursdays because that's also when I do my show later on in the afternoon, so it allows me to, in my mind, say, okay, this is what I'm going to organize, you know, how I'm going to organize it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's
so
works.
Yeah, and then this Monday I can be there with you at the opening.
Yeah, that would be awesome. You know, then Penny will be there as well, and it'll be me and Mike. Mike is going to be there every morning. I mean, Mike. I don't know why I call him Mike. My goodness, it's Dave. It's Dave. Dave Zeta is his name. So,
okay,
hey, so you mentioned something about next Tuesday. What time is the call on Tuesday?
So Tuesday is at 2:00. So Tuesday we'll go online. On Tuesday I don't have any. What was I going to tell you? Like today, we weren't able to get any questions in because the computer was on and I didn't see any questions coming in and I didn't want to interrupt and I said, let's just go on, continue. But normally on Tuesdays, it's a half an hour show. And, oh, Lee says you can also type questions.
Right, where are they typing them to? In comments?
Yeah, he says, are you typing it into comments? You go through the switchboard.
So when the people are on, they're typing their comments and then they're submitting the comment and you get it where?
You get it right there on the screen.
Board.
Yeah, it comes up.
Okay.
It pops up.
Very good. So
you can either have a live caller or you can have it typed. So that's great. So okay, so are you gonna be working with Lee later on setting up a blog or are you gonna do it?
I'm not even sure just yet. I'm just taking this one step at a time. Right now you know, by the way, I want you to know that they have a liaison now that they give you when you sign up for Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because
I got an email from somebody that said that they want to actually set up a 15 to 30 minute time period to actually teach me about the entire platform.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
so
very
you
good.
May want to inquire about that if there's anything you want to know that maybe, you know, you're not familiar with, but I'm guessing that that Lee's got this whole thing
handled.
Oh,
yeah, great. That's great because when we did it, they just changed the system. So maybe, you know, this is completely different. Lisa is a lot better than what it used to be.
Good. That's great.
Okay,
well, that's the way
great.
Things are, right? They always improve.
Okay.
So, do I block this out for Tuesday then? Is that what you want to do?
Block it, yes. Block it out for Tuesday. Tuesday I'm actually supposed to be at I'm going to be out in Philadelphia. I am going to go for a Quantum Leap marketing program. But at 2 o'clock, being that it's a half an hour, I'll get out of the program. And it's all about, you know, writing books and being an author and pitching and spokesperson. So this fits right in there. But we'll do it on Tuesday. You just call the same station, and then we'll just, you know, come online. And we'll just pick up from where we left off if you want to talk about, you know, programs or, you know, we can continue. You know what? That's also great. You know, when you were talking about the female-male energy, that was actually great as well.
Well, that, you mean when you and I spoke offline?
Yeah. I mean, that was actually very good.
Well,
and,
there's a lot of information out there and a lot to be discussed. It certainly isn't going to be all happen in a half an hour, right?
Oh, I know. Yeah. I definitely know. So, yeah, I mean, so tell me if, you know, that's good with you on Tuesday. But other than that, we're going to meet on, you have to give me just the number for the show on Monday.
I'll give it to you right now.
Oh, you have it?
Of course.
Awesome.
We're all ready to go here. I've already sent out emails to people, inviting them to the call. Yeah, it's good
great
to go. I mean, I'm pretty actually amazed at how quickly I acted, and it's just based on our conversation that we had, what, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
Three
well,
days
that's
ago,
good.
I don't know when we spoke, but I said, okay, you know what, stop playing small, Joe. You're in the conversation because you want to be in it, and just follow through. And, you know, I just came back from this vacation in Capri. You've done Landmark?
No, I haven't, but Lee has.
Okay, well, I've been around this Landmark conversation for quite some time, and they have this course called the Wisdom Course. And through the Wisdom Course, they actually give you access to something called Transforming Yesterday's Strategies, which is a vacation course. This particular one was available in Capri, Italy. Now, I wasn't even in the course. I was invited as a guest, and I was around the conversation, not in the conversation. And I got so much out of this without even being in the course. That's how powerful this thing is. It's just amazing how it just spews over into the world. And I was so happy to be a part of that. And, you know, I was talking about this thing with the dogs.
Yes.
Oh, did that make sense to you, by the way?
It did. It totally
okay
did.
Do you own a dog?
No, I don't, but I did at one point.
Okay. Well, are you familiar with the Dog Whisperer?
No. The lady who has a program, or someone who has a program on the show?
Cesar Millan is a Mexican individual who came into this country 13 years ago. He jumped the border, actually. And he talks about it too, and now lo and behold, the guy has now become famous around the world with this program called the Dog Whisperer. It's seen on National Geographic, and
okay,
it's all about dog psychology. I mean, this guy is a master at dogs. But the interesting part about this whole thing is that when it comes to human beings, he doesn't go near the human beings. What he does is he actually gets to a point where he helps the people understand that it's not the dog, it's about them and who they're being around the dog. And so he helps them take responsibility. So I asked him, I said, so what do you do with the people after that? He says, that's it. He says, I'm done with them. I just focus on the dogs. And
wow.
And I said, my goodness, I said, that is an amazing opportunity to start a division where these people can actually take on some coaching for themselves and really now get take on their life on a whole new level if they so choose, you know. But anyway,
yeah,
neither here nor there. But the stuff that I learned about this amazing animal, these dogs, is just incredible. And here I was sharing information with him about humans, and he's sharing information with me about dogs, and it's all one and the same.
It's you know what? It's amazing, because one of the things that one always says is, you know, what's the distinction between humans and animals and the reasoning ability? And sometimes dealing with animals is a lot better than dealing with humans, because humans, sometimes you think that they're not, you know, they're not using their thinking. And, you know, and again, like Lee just said, he goes, they twist everything. And even you just making that comparison, some people right away will be like, oh, wait, you're comparing a person to a dog. And it's like, no, read beyond it. You know, recognize what is being said.
Yeah,
and that's the whole, you know, interpretation and the whole opinion and the whole meaning behind everything that people, it makes it so difficult. So when you say the man would prefer to deal with dogs, I totally wholeheartedly understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, and
you know what's
really cool is that it's that what happens is that, you know, with human beings, what gets in the way is their rationale.
Exactly.
You know? And that's, which is something that dogs don't have. So that's why it's such a pleasure to be around dogs, you know, because it's
well,
conditional.
Yeah, that'll be actually neat for us to talk on Tuesday. So, well, Joe, give me that that number.
Yeah, it's right here. 347.
Okay.
215.
215.
8800.
8800. And then give me, you know what? I'll tell you. We'll start off. I'll start off with you on Monday, and then I'll let you know after that if I can commit to the 5 days.
Okay.
Because I would love to do an empowerment, because I can tell you that, you know, where, you know how every new level of growth requires a new level of you?
Yep.
That's totally where I am. So I have to leave my Wednesday night group, and I would love to be able to bring this over to all the people that I'm meeting, especially all the women that I'm involved with, because they would all love to come on this.
Yeah, and exactly. And so the question now becomes is how are we going to show up in that space, you know? And we could just bounce stuff off of each other, and you know, and
yeah.
just you know, I'll certainly talk about, you know, your show when you're talking. You know, we'll just remind people that you have your show going on, and
yeah.
we just have to be careful that we don't wind up making this a completely an advertising thing. You know, we'll definitely want to acknowledge what you have out there and what other people have, because I know Penny's on the 10 o'clock show. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And so we'll be spending 10 minutes telling everybody about everybody's shows. You know, it's really cool.
Yeah, that'd be funny. Well, you know, for me, it's pretty much in the morning would be great, because I think I could give people a lot more for them to really value, as far as having a lot of different people discussing, especially, you know, because they're going to be doing, like you said, doing the empowerment is different than talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, because talking about it is the idea, but then when you apply it and you're able to see it for yourself, that's when it could be sustainable. So, yeah, that really definitely interests me. So can you send me the invite that you've sent out to other people?
Okay, I'll do that.
Right? Okay, Joe. So,
email.
So we'll speak on probably Sunday night or something.
Sunday night's gonna be a little tough for me to speak, but if nothing else, it'll definitely be Monday morning.
Okay, so Monday morning, yeah, at 7, right?
Yeah, we'll
okay.
just show up on that call, and if for any reason I gotta reach out to you, because I'm in a course this weekend. Actually, remember the information I gave you about Alison Armstrong?
Yes.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm doing one of her courses this weekend, and it's called, I think it's called Understanding Women. So it's
uh-huh.
more of that masculine, feminine energy stuff that I'm looking into here.
Oh, that is so great. Now, Joe, do you have, a lot of her material, right?
We have some, yes. I don't want to say a lot, but I certainly have been exposed to quite a bit of that stuff. Yeah, between her and Tony Robbins and this other guy, Carl and Chandra. They're, you know, these guys are all doing a similar work, and it's all overlapping. And even David Dita, he does a little bit of that too. He's a little bit different though, but it's along the same lines. It's all about understanding the gender, you know.
Okay, well, that's good, because I'd like to yet later on get some information on this. But this is later on for something different, which is, like you said, continue going forward one day at a time, because there's so much
that's
cover.
Right.
But anyhow, so okay, so good. So then we'll talk then Monday.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much again for the opportunity here, and I'm glad that you actually pulled through this whole scenario here. It's really cool.
Good experience for you. Have something ready.
By the way, I want you to know that while this was happening, I was literally sending you energy just to loosen up this whole situation. I said, I don't know why this thing is getting clogged up here, but you know what? Let's just loosen it up. Let's not go into panic mode and just keep sending the love and just keep, you know, because that's what I do. I mean, you got to remember when that happens, just keep breathing and just let it flow.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.
We'll talk then Monday.
All right. Enjoy yourself.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.